Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as advisors with Rochford & Associates, a fully independent fourth-generation office right here in Sun City. And this week, we are bringing you information you may hear on other financial shows. This week's a little bit different. We try to do news, but in order to do news, it needs to be relevant to what's going on. We are recording 2 weeks ahead for this one because our producer will be out next week. Or last week, forget, I'm in the future, technically. We have decided to do a episode that actually revolves around financial advising. You can talk about all the doom and gloom in the news, but that's the logic. That's the reason why we do the things we do. We like you to know the why. The stuff that JR presents on the show, the stuff we're seeing in the news, is the things that back our philosophy when it comes to financial advising. JR gave a talk a few weeks ago, and he gives his talks very, very similar to the radio show. However, he was warned not to this time and was told to give financial advice. And how did that go? It sounded like it went pretty well. And that was kind of the idea for why we're doing this today, right?
Yeah, it did. It did go really well. And the woman, Cindy, that asked me to do the presentation, she said that she wanted it to be different. She said, you know, the one that I normally do, which is a little more negative, and it's more on preparing and, you know, our whole thing. We want you prepared, not scared. We want you proactive, not reactive. This one, she wanted it for some new people that are going to be there. There was a woman that said that I actually scared her during my last presentation. That's never my intention. I really do want you to get prepared for what may be coming, but I don't want to scare you. And I look at it like our little thing about being prepared, not scared. You know, before doing the radio show, when it was more traditional financial planning, my motto, if you will, then, you know, Anthony, you and I did presentations at different senior communities. We did ones at RAIN, which is like a networking group. You know, our little motto at that time was education over sales, planning over products. We've always tried to be a good, genuine, honest practice. We are a safe-based practice. We are, if you want to use the word conservative, you know, a lot of times now people right away jump to politics. We are financially conservative. So we want you to protect and grow your money in that order. And yes, I probably even sound more mellow. Today is going to be an hour with no articles. Today's going to be some financial information. We're going to dig into a topic that a lot of you need to hear, and you're just not hearing the whole story. So it's going to be different. I hope it doesn't come off as a one-hour-long infomercial.
It will.
So my fear has been founded. I want to tell you I'm scared in advance because this is going to be an hour-long infomercial. You know, I listen to other radio shows, and they're like, if you call within the next half hour, your consultation's free. Come on, guys. We're not that dumb. We know it's free if we call next Wednesday. You know, if you have $250,000 or more, you did the heavy lifting, you can come in for a complimentary consultation. Come on, guys. We know if they have $150,000, you're still going to take them. We all know this is about the law of scarcity, the law of demand. Financial planning has never been about financial planning. It's about psychology. It's about sales. Financial planning is actually a small part of our industry. And a lot of people are smart enough to know that at this point. So with that said, Anthony, where do you want to start? Do you have a game plan?
Oh, I don't know. I figure you would start almost however you started your presentation. You know,
okay,
walk the audience through what you did there, and then I'll chime in with my spiel.
Excellent. You have a spiel? Do you have a schmear on your bagel? My thing, how I started, was big picture. There's, you know, financial planning is on one hand, it's more simple than we make it to be. Your main food groups, stocks and bonds, cash, meaning physical cash at home, or bank money, you know, liquid money market, CDs, high yield savings, online savings accounts. You know, there's the money, there's land, real estate. I mean, there's different things you can put your money in. The last, you know, so many years, we've added some alternative options for you. You know, I mean, 10 years ago, actually it was 2016, the first time I started reading about it, there was no such thing as Bitcoin 10 years ago this year. It didn't exist. So now you have that option, and that led to Ripple, Ethereum, Dogecoin, Shiba Inu, all kinds of craziness. And we did bring up last week, you know, they love the word coin, but there's no coin. You're buying air when you cash it out, when you make your trillions in your Bitcoin wallet. And by the way, don't ever lose the key or your password. When you cash it out, you get fiat currency. They don't send you any coins. So it's just you're buying air, but you know, diversification is still good. So if you have the stomach and the discipline to get in on the right time and get out at the right time, good on you, because there's a lot of people that made some money on it. So good on you. So, but I started out with the big picture, your different options. And the group that I was with is I'm going to call it a politically conservative group. So then it went from big picture to, you know, a lot of people have questions on precious metals. That's a biggie. Gold and silver. If you listen to a lot of AM radio, you know that every other commercial is from a gold company, thinks you need to buy gold. There's one of my very favorite radio shows is from the Patriot Trading Group. It's a guy named Joe, and his partner is Jason. He had different partners before. I miss Eric. But anyway, so it's all about current events, mostly financial leaning, and how they're going to affect your finances. It's a financial version of our show.
Gold version of our show.
Yes, heavy on the gold. Although they're a sponsor for a local company that, you know, I don't want to get into that. But yeah, I mean, they had Joe's son on for quite a while. I'm not sure what happened. I must have missed a couple episodes when he stopped being on there, but he was on every Monday and he does traditional financial planning. So they did address it. Anyway, so basically the presentation I did, I went real heavy into precious metals. We're not going to do that today because I want to focus on one topic, which I shall get to shortly. But we talked about, you know, the financial rules. We talked about the rule of 100 and how if you're 80, the general rule is to have 20% at growth and 80% safe. If you're 20, your risk tolerance, because of your time horizon, should flip-flop. 20% of your money should be safeguarded to hedge your bets. 80% should be more at risk. So, Anthony, I mean, you're newer. You've been there 6 years. I've been there 26 years. You know, the rule of 100. Talk about it for a second. Kind of what are your thoughts? Do you think that's all people need to know? I mean, do you think about psychology?
Not at all, but there's complications to it. So the rule of 100, right? If you are 80 years old, you should have 80% bonds, 20% stocks. If you're 20 years old, you should have 20% bonds, 80% stocks. But what happens when you have a 15-year run of 0% interest rates like we did from 2008 up until about 2022? There's an inverse relationship between bonds and yields. When rates are zero, that means rates can only really go up from there, which means your bond investments are going to tank. And that's what we saw in 2022, 2023, you know, because if rates go up, everything you had in that bond is going to go down. So with that mindset, you've just said if someone's 80% of their portfolio is something that was in a position to really just fall. It's kind of scary. And then, well, what else are you going to do? Put your money in the stock market? If you've listened to the show, you know our stance on it. The problem is there's no foundation to the stock market. I even joked last episode that the market is just going to keep going up because now the government can drop rates again. So in 2020, when they should have dropped rates to help increase the stock market, they didn't. They couldn't because rates were already zero. We've set up this whole system. It's so convoluted. Nothing really makes sense. If you have the opportunity, watch Dumb Money on Netflix, I believe, about GameStop stock, because that was the first time where the government came in and actually stopped the market from going up. Typically, they stop the market from going down, but this time they stopped it from going up. There's something called the plunge team, which stops the market from going down if it goes down too fast in a single day. We're brought up now where really all we have is stocks and bonds. when we used to have a system of pensions. You know, a lot of things changed in the 80s. JR's parents and grandparents, that generation, they had banks, they had cash at home, they had stocks and bonds, but typically they had a pension through their employer. As we get to the 80s, they got rid of the pensions because it was too expensive for companies. So now all of a sudden you've got this 401k. So it's good luck. You're going to save up all this money and then you're going to retire and you're not going to have any more income. And we're going to pray you don't lose all your money. So that's essentially what the rule of 100 is, as well. Theoretically, you want your money to get safer as you get older, but bonds aren't always the safe answer. And stocks definitely aren't the same answer.
Well, and you know, something that occurs to me, the financial rules, the rule of 100 that we all first learn when we're new and we don't know how to work our way around the psychology of our job, the rules are the same 26 years later. What you learned 6 years ago, that's what they taught me. The thing is, they take, you know, how do we do financial planning? Number one, your date of birth. Number two, your income, assets, taxes, risk tolerance. If you don't know it, we can help you figure it out. You know what? They're not changing. We didn't have $35 trillion in debt 26 years ago. We didn't have high frequency trading computers. The Dow Jones is only 30 companies. People don't know that. There's a lot of manipulation. We're sitting on a house of cards right now, Anthony. So people need to stay up to date on what's really going on. You know, one of the things I hear you say a lot, and I've said it forever, so maybe you got it from me, I don't know. You're telling younger workers when we're a second opinion on their 401k, you know, and obviously we're going to be careful today. Today we're recording on the 22nd of August. You're hearing it like 2 weeks later. Basically, we're not giving you financial advice. If we give you any interest rates, they are current on the 22nd of August. You're going to have to check with us or your financial professional if you want to know current rates. But I'll tell you something. You're giving wonderful advice in uncertain, uncharted territory times like we're in right now. And I think we will be until at least January or February. And I mean politically, geopolitically, you know, the chance of weirdness happening. So you're telling people, and I'm just summing it up, here's your 401k that you never were given the proper guidance or help with how to pick the mutual funds. So they said, put all your money in the target date, the life cycle, whatever they call it, you know, say 2050. And then it has stocks and bonds and cash. And then every year you get close to retirement, it's going to get safer. So that's great advice. It's autopilot. But the problem is, if we have another 2000 or 2008, you're going to see a noticeable decline in your portfolio. You have been telling people for a while here, ramping up to consider, again, I'm careful how I say this, consider putting all of your money, whether it's 10,000 or 10 million, put it all into the safe bucket, the stable value fund or the money market or whatever the safest amount of money is. And then on your future contributions, what comes out of your paycheck every 2 weeks, make that even more aggressive. If they have a 2070 fund, use that one. I mean, you want to buy things as they're going down while they're on sale. So you don't want to suspend your investing for Pete's sake.
Well, especially as you get closer to retirement, can you afford to lose any money in retirement? We talked to people quite a bit who, you know, realistically, they didn't save up enough for retirement. They're not. You want to get aggressive and lose 30% of the money you already don't really have. Like if you don't have enough, you really can't afford to lose it. You know, those people that are tighter in a more strict position, I get that you need more, but as you near retirement or in retirement, you don't have that time anymore. You don't have the time for the risk. And I want to talk about
advice, Anthony. They're giving the advice that you don't try to be smarter than the market. You don't try to buy and hold. You do buy and hold. My whole thing, the world around you is making the old buy and hold strategy kind of antiquated. You lost, you know, if you're my age, you lost a bunch of money, you know, maybe 87 or whatever Black Friday was, Black Monday. You lost a bunch of money. You lost a bunch of money in March and April of 2000 for the tech bubble. On September 11th, 2001, you lost money in a hurry for a week. And then 2008 was the granddaddy. And then the genius financial advisors are going to come out and say, don't try to time to market. And they're going to say, as long as you didn't panic and you didn't sell, it was only a paper loss. I understand that. But it took me 5 years to get back to where I was. I lost 5 years of investing time to get back to where I was. In the grand scheme of things, 5 years of investing time in somebody's career, which is only 20 to 30 years, is massive. What if somebody like you, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just literally just looked at somebody's 401k statement. And it's one thing to watch the stock market, right? March of 2020, it dropped. It came back in 1 month immediately, right? But that's looking at the market as a whole. Are people invested in just the S&P? Or are they in the mutual funds here and there? So just because that went up immediately, looking at this woman's 401k statement, she just came back. So even in the greatest theoretical market times there are, that's not what your portfolios are looking like. The S&P 500 is up year to date and it's up this and that. And it's like, yeah, but it's 16 companies or something that's holding.
Seven. The rest of Magnificent them, Seven floated.
Yeah, they said that they're up 16%, but the rest of the companies out of 500 are maybe up 1%, maybe. So quite a bit are down.
Yeah, but you see the market
as a whole. It's like, oh, everything's up. That means everything should be going up, but that's not what it is. So did you invest in those specific seven companies, or are you invested in all the stuff that's not really doing that well right now?
People need good advice. I remember in the late 90s when I was new, we had the old dial-up. I mean, it was slow. It was sketchy. You know, early 2000s, the technology boomed. And I remember saying to my father, probably 2001 or 2-ish, so over 20 years ago, I said, our job is going to go away. I mean, I'm saying that again now, but that's because of AI. But I said, my job is going to go away. And my father was, he kept me calm. He was like, no, it's not. He's like, when you, son, go on WebMD, you come away knowing you have cancer of the earlobe, you're pregnant, you know, you lost a toe. And it's like, holy, yeah, you're right. I mean, we as investors tend, in general, I know there's exceptions to every rule, we tend to do more harm than good to ourselves. My father explained to me the reason I'll always have a job. There's a huge difference between information and advice. And as long as you're getting good advice, it is invaluable. So what you are bringing to people is good advice. That sounded like an information show. See Anthony over at Rochford and Associates, conveniently located on 98th Avenue and Bell in West Valley.
Right, so the moral of this story is the market's real complicated. It seems to be what everybody tells me they're an expert in the market, and that's just because they're told stocks and bonds and that it's smart, but there's significantly more to that. So let's get into what we actually want to talk about.
Let's do it. So when I did my presentation, I did the big picture. I talked about tax harvesting. You know, I mean, if it did take this long to get your portfolio back, if you've got losses, you might want to talk to your CPA, enrolled agent, bookkeeper, and maybe sell some stuff while there's this window. You know, we talked last week about the potential of unrealized gains being taxed. So politically, maybe you're in a good window. Taxes are still relatively low. So, you know, when you look at the big picture of investing, one of the things that we want people to do, we want you very defensive right now, younger workers, with your 401k, safeguarding what you have, but still buying in more aggressively. That's one strategy for you. It may fit you. If you're retired, if you're retiring soon, you know, if you're worried that you're going to lose 10 or 20% of your money, we have solutions. Pretty much every week I bring up the big picture, pay down debt. Yeah, but JR, my car, it's 0% financing and I got it, you know, through AAA or Costco or Sam's. So I even got a good deal. Yeah, but it's still, your cash flow is less because of that car. It's something around your neck. We're going to help you get more peace of mind than you thought you'd get. So be debt free. Grandchild, child gifting. You can give up to $18,000 per person. So for example, we won't do this, don't get me wrong, but if we wanted to give money to you or to Jay or to Nicholas, I could give you $18,000. Your mom can give you $18,000, you know? So, and I mean, there's all these opportunities to start using your money that people aren't talking about in our profession, because, you know, a lot of times we're chasing commissions and a better lifestyle for ourselves than you. That's why the government came in and said you have to be a fiduciary. So we talk about paying down debt, buying hard assets. Maybe that's food and water, guns and ammo, gold and silver. You know, we can talk about that individually with people. We know how to help you find out what's best for your situation. We also talk about what you do, Anthony, which is assets under management. It's managed money. You can help people with stocks, bonds, ETFs, you know, through the company that your license is at. And what are you doing? You've got some clients in stuff that's defensive. You know, you're looking for green energy. You're looking for opportunities.
Well, I'm looking at, and we brought that up earlier, is we're waiting for opportunities. So the stuff we're invested in is long-term viewing, and we have cash ready. Because there's nothing that drives me more crazy than hearing, oh, well, you know, you just lost 30% in the market. Now's a good time to buy. It's like, well, where? Where does that money come from? So if I'm an advisor and I just lose you 30% and now is a great time to buy, I'm going to tell you to come up with more money. Why aren't they being proactive? So we've got clients in cash waiting to buy in. If the market goes down, we're not selling. We're buying more. Buy low, sell high. It's that
pause right there. Have people rewind. Have people listen to the podcast. What you just said is genius. Everybody agrees we are more likely to have a market correction than not because of World War III, Civil War, elections, you know, Disease X and Mpox. So, yeah, I mean, you are ready with your clients. If the market gets cut in half, if we have another 2008, your clients are ready for that. There's going to be opportunities. As long as we don't think the world's ending, there'll be opportunities. You're ready for that. That's smart. You know, that's just smart planning. Why don't more advisors do that? Because that's not where we make money. You know, what's the best way to be a successful, wealthy financial advisor? Be a stockbroker or a life insurance salesperson. Being something that makes you good commissions. Keep moving money. I'm a stockbroker. You like Coca-Cola? Pay me. Oh, Coca-Cola's up. Let's take some off the table. Pay me. Oh, Coca-Cola's down. Pay me. We'll buy Pepsi. Pay me. So anyway, I'll get right into the meat of what I really want to cover. There's a big, huge gorilla in the room in the financial world. If you've heard the word annuity, either right away, you just folded your arms, you're getting ready to change the channel, or you're like, that's the best thing that ever happened to me. It's like politics. You're so far to the right or the left, it's hard to get back. That's my experience with annuities. I used to shy away from the word. I used to not want to say annuity. I would say insurance product. I would say safety. I would say lifetime income you cannot outlive. I would do anything but use the word annuity, because I come along saying, you know, there actually could be good annuities, but you've heard your entire life. You've heard famous people, Dave Ramsey, I'm not looking at you, don't worry. Susie Orman, Jim Cramer, the granddaddy of annuity hatred, Ken Fisher, who actually, if you look into his history, has been a huge investor in annuity companies. We have articles we can forward to you if you think I'm making that up. But Ken Fisher would rather kill his own mother than sell her an annuity. But he made a lot of money on annuity companies. So a little hypocritical, don't you think, Kenny boy? Anyway, back to annuities. We want to air it out a little bit here for a reason. We, Anthony and I, long before Anthony even joined the practice, we dug into annuities. Why do people hate them? Why do people love them? Are they good? Are they bad? Are they good as a hedge your bet strategy? You know, so let's start with the big picture and then let's narrow it down. We have another half an hour or so. So let's get into annuities and air it out. If you get done hearing what we have to say about annuities and you still don't think they're a good fit for you, guess what? Did I mention Anthony's very smart at assets under management and money managing? You know, we can guide you with how to buy Bitcoin. If you need that guidance, we can show you.
Full service advisors. There are a time when buying into the stock market will be the right thing, where it'll make sense. Now it's just not that time. So it's a balancing act.
We're going with our friend Roger next week to a precious metals shop to talk to the person there about, you know, having a little more information, you know, having somebody to send people to. We don't sell precious metals. We don't sell umbrella policies. We don't sell wills and trusts. We educate you enough to know whether or not you should look into it. We help you figure out your risk tolerance. We introduce you to attorneys and to gold and silver dealers. You know, Joe, thank you for being out there. We try to help you with things that we don't even sell. Ooh, infomercial again. Sorry about that. So back to annuities. Let's go big picture, and then let's get to a little bit more detail. So when people hear this entire episode, they're going to be more well-informed. And then again, if they don't think they're a good fit, good news. You don't need them. But
well,
if you,
you of all
know,
the names you call them, you didn't call them what it is. It's a pension. If you have ASRS, if you have a pension through the state, if you have
Social Security
through an old employer, you have annuities.
Yes.
People love pensions. People hate annuities. It's just bad marketing. Annuities get a bad rep because just like anything else, there's good and bad ones. But once you turn it on, the functionality is a pension. And that part is good. It's the growth factor before you get to that point.
And you said it's bad marketing. It's quite the opposite. It's brilliant marketing on behalf of Ken Fisher, Dave Ramsey, Susie Orman. It's brilliant marketing. And we are going to explain to you good versus bad annuities. And then we're going to explain what Anthony just said and how some of them are really good for you in a day and age where Social Security is most likely to get cut in your lifetime. So we got ideas for you.
Social Security?
Social Security is an annuity. It's an annuity, kids. Let's say I play the Powerball, or let's say the pick. Let's say something a little more, you know, you can easily understand the winning. You win $6 million if you win the drawing this Saturday night. They give you a choice. You can take a lump sum and walk, but you're only going to get half. The taxes are the same. You're going to pay them either slowly or all at once. You're going to get $3 million if you walk. If you keep the $6 million, it stays in, guess what? What kind of vehicle do they put it in? A 20-year. Say the word, Anthony. Say it. Say that dirty, bad word.
Pension.
Yes. We want to educate you on pensions today. I know everybody listening doesn't care, so they didn't say the word annuity. But
well,
you know
everybody listening in Sun City probably has a pension.
Yes, they have an annuity, and they don't even know
it. They love pensions.
They just hate annuities, and they don't even know it. They're going to after this show. And if you hate this show, by the way, tell
this
us.
This will not help you. Yeah, this will
help
make it worse.
But if you don't care for the show, don't worry. Next week, we are going to be back to articles, and I'll be on fire again. So annuities 101 is where we're going to start. We're going to do annuities 101, and then we're going to do annuities 201 and get into it a little bit. How much time do we have, Sam, before the break? Do we have time to at least tell you the bad annuities before the break?
Sam, the sham man
is shaking his head the wrong way. We are going to tell you how to find us, and then there's a cliffhanger. We'll be back to tell you about the evils of pensions. So team at anothermoneyshow.com, email us. Tell us how much you hate pensions. You can call us 623-523-0444. You can find every episode we've done in the last 2.5 years, even the one where we had Seth Leibson on talking about the boy that cried wolf, meaning me. So make sure you look for us anywhere you find podcasts. You can find us on our website, anywhere. So we'll be right back. Thank you, as always, so much for being with us. We greatly appreciate it.
This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one's actually fun. Another weekend, Another Money Show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. As always, we appreciate so much that you're with us. We're little fish in a big pond, and we love your support. Thank you for calling us, by the way, and coming in, and we love meeting you. I mean, this has been a pleasure. So back to annuities. Let's do the annuities 101. The big picture. There are two main types of annuities. There are variable annuities, and there are fixed annuities. One of the things I will tell you, the first few years of my being in the industry, I was trained on how to sell variable annuities. Looking back, I wish I hadn't been. I should have been trained on how to sell fixed annuities along with a little portfolio of mutual funds. The problem I see with variable annuities, and I've never found one yet that I would own. Actually, I used to own one. I had a MetLife Performance Plus annuity, had it for years. Got rid of it when it came out of its 7-year declining surrender charge schedule. So, but the variable annuities, in my opinion, are very expensive and very risky. So I think you can better your situation using fixed annuities and mutual funds or ETFs or whatnot.
Well, it's an expensive way to buy mutual funds. A variable annuity, if you turn it on for income, is a pension for life, which we love. In the meantime, in that growth phase, it's just like having stocks and bonds.
Yes.
It can go down.
And there could be some benefit. There's something called a ratcheted death benefit that people that sell variable annuities like to focus in on. There can be income riders. There can be things about them that are shown in a positive light. But in general, if you look at 2007, 2008, and 2009, those variable annuities did not do what people thought they would do. And you know, even if you have an income rider on a variable annuity, you got to play by their rules. If you need more money out 1 year than you're getting with your income, you will violate that variable annuity rule, and you might get a shock. So be careful. So I just want you to know, in our opinion, we would steer you away from any variable annuity. There's not one we will own. That leads you to fixed annuities. Let me give you the bad news first and then the good. The bad news is, and this is going back more than my 26 years in the job, so let's say 30 years ago, there used to be people that represented insurance companies selling annuities that sold something called a life-only annuity. What that means, let's say you give the insurance company $100,000 and they're going to give you $1,000 a month for life. The problem is these life-only annuities, if you died in year two and you've only gotten, what, $24,000 out of your $100,000 back, and you died, the insurance company keeps the rest of your money. I mean, if you're not married, you don't have kids, you've never had kids, I can still tell you, if I sit with you long enough and I talk about the Cancer Society or the Humane Society or some niece or nephew, or I can find a beneficiary for you, I promise. So let's
go back to that, though, because, right, you're saying that annuities got a bad rep because people sold life only.
Yes.
However, back to pensions, most people, when they get pensions through employers, what are they picking? They're not always picking the joint life. They're not always picking something goes up. I'm saying a lot of the ones I've seen, when we talk to people and say, hey, you have a pension, what does the beneficiary get if anything happened to you? A lot of the times they're telling us nothing. You know what they have? They have life-only annuities. So it's fine if an employer offers it to you and you take it as a pension. But people that had purchased them, if they have self-funded annuities in the past, then it became a negative slant on something that people are already doing. And I don't disagree with you. I don't think we've ever sold a life-only. There's no reason to. That's why. It's back to the marketing thing. It's like, these are things that exist in the financial sphere already that people don't realize. So we don't agree with them. We don't like them, but it's not like this is a new concept. Sorry, I just wanted to get that out.
No. As a rare occurrence, I'm going to compliment you on that thought, because I hadn't thought of that myself. And I mean, you and I see things differently a lot of times. It's like, I love what you just said. When it's your employer and you die and your spouse doesn't get any residual income, it is what it is. When it's an annuity, you're upset. That's a good point. And I can tell you, if you're in our office and you bring your retirement paperwork and they have to have you say, I want your full pension or I want 50%. But then if my wife, you know, lives longer than me, which is usually the case on women versus men, then she gets half for her life. That's generally the way we have you look. Unless, you know, I got a client named Mike. This is one that comes to mind. We do another strategy. If your health is such that we can do it, we tell you to take your full pension, and then we take what would be the other half, and we give you a life insurance policy, either IUL or GUL or whole life or something permanent, and we get you tax-free dollars for, you know, to make up for taking the whole pension for your spouse. So there are other strategies
there, yeah.
Yes, there's some generational wealth strategy behind that. There's some reasons to dig deeper than just what your employer is offering. With that said, let's move on a little bit. So we are in favor of fixed annuities. We are not in favor of variable. In general, we are in favor of annuities where there is not a lifetime only option. We are in favor of you being in control, even if you're not with us anymore. Even if you go home, we want your family not to be upset with your decisions. That leads us to different varieties of fixed annuities. We're going to give you three categories, and then we're going to dig in a little bit, because I'll bet you didn't even know that there was a difference between variable and fixed. And if you did, I'll bet you didn't know there were different kinds of fixed annuities. We're going to talk about something called a MIGA, a SPIA, and an FIA. The MIGA is probably what we're hearing the most questions on right now, because I'll call it a CD alternative. MIGA stands for multi-year Anthony, multi-year guaranteed annuity. I froze up on something I talk about every day of my life. So
realize that was a cry for help.
Yes, it was
I
a cry.
That was and you weren't there dramatic for me. Effect. I didn't
you
realize
let me flounder. Going. Unless we stopped and talked about my behavior, nobody would know it, but you let me flounder. I'm very, very sad right now. Anyway, Amiga is a multi-year guaranteed annuity. I will say it's like a CD alternative in the fact that you tell the insurance company, just like you would tell the bank, how much money you want to put in. Then you tell them the term. We have access. We are fully independent, so we can actually have access to multitudes of different companies and their rates. But we have these MIGAs that go anywhere from 1 year up to 20. So if you tell me you've got $100,000, but you do not want to tie it up, you just want to get through the elections, you want to get through MPOX, you want to see what happens a year from now, we can tie it up for 1 year. Our current rate, I think it's okay to say this, as long as you understand that today's date on the 22nd of August, 5.5%. If you, for example, did a 2 year or a 3 year or a 5 year, Anthony, tell me a little bit about 1099s every year. Tell me a little bit about the tax advantage to a MIGA versus a CD.
You know, there's a difference between tax codes and the investments themselves. If you're in a Roth tax code, if you are in a traditional IRA or 401k, you're deferring your taxes. If your money isn't in one of these tax codes, it's what's recalled or referred to as non-qualified money. Think of non-qualified money as your checking, your savings, money you're spending with your debit card, your credit card, the money you're transacting day to day. So if your non-qualified money, like your money in the bank, which you probably didn't realize for the last 15 years because there was no interest rates, you actually get 1099 on your money every single year. Every interest payment that you get from the bank, you're supposed to pay taxes on.
So even though I'm not going to use CD, even though I'm leaving it.
Even though you're leaving it. So if you have a 5-year CD and you're not touching it, you're getting taxed every single year on those gains. So if you use non-qualified money, taxed every year. If you put a CD into an IRA, then you defer taxes. However, if you use a MIGA, which is, kind of like a CD alternative, and you use non-qualified money, your taxes get deferred. Annuities and life insurance are the only vehicles that I'm aware of that will defer taxes until you actually take the money out of that vehicle for non-qualified. Otherwise, you're going to pay taxes as you go.
And I don't want to go down this road, but life insurance, death benefit in the state of Arizona is actually tax-free. So you can turn pennies into dollars and leave
that's
those
a whole
to your
other.
Kids. Yep. That's why I said I'm not going to go down that road, but I want people to know there are huge tax advantages available to people that explore their options.
So not only do with MIGAs do you get to defer your taxes, but in a lot of cases, obviously not all, but in a lot of cases, they pay higher interest rates. We've been tracking this for years. When I look at it today, right, and maybe there's other stuff out there, but again, as of August 22nd, when I look at bankrate.com, and I look at what we have offers for our MIGAs. The 1 year is 5.5% MIGA. A CD is 5.1. The 2 year is 5%. The CD is 4.75. The 5 year is 5.65%, whereas the CD is 4.2. So, let's make everything equal. Let's say that you've got bank money, you want to invest in a CD, and it's 5% in a MIGA or it's 5% in a CD. You're still going to come out more ahead with the MIGA because you're going to be able to defer those taxes.
So compounding growth.
Exactly. So,
and you know what I think you're going to hit? And I just want to rush the issue a little bit because I can't help myself. When you have a CD, for example, 5-year CD, if you go to FDIC.gov, you're going to find you have 1.17% guaranteed coverage through the insurance coffers at the government, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. How much guarantee do you have on your money with a MIGA?
Insurance companies are forced to carry surplus. They're forced to have reserves. I would say a lot of the companies we represent have solvency ratings of between 104 and 108%. Some more, some less. But that's saying that they don't have just 1.17 reserve and actually really no savings at all, because that's the FDIC, not the banks. The banks have fractional reserve banking, so they're really not saving much. But these insurance companies are forced to have reserves, and reserves on top of their reserves.
And by the way, how ironic, how hypocritical, the federal government doesn't have to have reserves, but they force insurance companies that are controlled through each state, not federal. They cannot operate in a state if they don't have reserves. They have to have your money 100% guaranteed. So check another green check over on the left there for MIGAs. Let's move on because I don't want to run out of time. So yes, Sam put up rules for thee and not for me. Amen. That's how this country works, unfortunately. So moving on. So now we've got variable bad, fixed good, lifetime only bad, having a beneficiary. So if you die in 2 years, your beneficiary gets the rest of your money that you haven't used. Good. Now let's move on to the SPIA. That stands for single premium immediate annuity. There is your insta pension. You know, on the MIGA, it's like a CD. You take it out in a year, take it out in 2 years, 5 years, 20 years, whatever you want. SPIA is like, I want a pension now. Insurance company, I'm going to give you $100,000. I want $1,000 a month for whatever. You can do two different engineering on a SPIA. You can do, I want $1,000 a month until it's out. And they're going to tell you it's going to last whatever, 7.6 years, 12.4 years, depends on your date of birth. So you can reverse engineer it and say, insurance company, here's $100,000. What will it give me for life? And they're going to say, whatever, $1,000 a month for life. And then the mortality tables currently say if you're a male in the state of Arizona, you should live to 76 years of age. Believe it or not, if you live in Hawaii, it's like 80. But anyway, so in Arizona,
I know what point you're trying to get to, but I don't think that's how it's working out.
I know, but don't be an engineer right now. Be conceptual. Bear with me on this. We're in 101. We're not
clarify. It's conceptual because somebody will listen to the show with an engineering mind.
We know who he is. He's going to come in with analytics and flow charts. So, and I mean that in a good way. We love you. I love Cheetos too. So anyway, they're going to say at 76 in your stocks, bonds, CDs, money market, cash, whatever, when you're out of money, you're out of money. So now your $1,000 a month from 76 to whenever you die is done. That's how financial products work. Not with a SPIA. It's lifetime income. It's income you cannot outlive. So if you're getting $1,000,
if you had a pension or know anybody who had a pension, you probably had a chance to have a lump sum or money for life. It's the exact same thing. It's just your self-funding. And this is without an employer saying, you're going to an insurance company. Here is my lump sum. What are you going to give me for life?
Well, and you just made a light bulb go off on top of my head. It's also an individual account. It's you. It's your $100,000 in your own pension. If United Airlines, MCI, you name them. I just sent you a statement, Anthony, last week from a woman who's got her deceased husband's pension, and she's being paid not from GM. She's being paid from the pension guarantee fund. GM went south. Her husband lost his pension. It's currently paying from a government fund. And if that thing runs dry when we tip, guess whose pension might... I hope she's not listening. I mean, talk about scary.
Well, we talked about the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation a few times on here as the FDIC. Yep. And they don't have the coffers you think they would either. If it wasn't for the Inflation Reduction Act, they actually would have been $63 billion in the hole. So they got bailed out just recently.
Uh-huh. And by the way, Inflation Reduction Act, we're going to spend trillions of dollars to reduce inflation. Talk about...
I want to get to the point of that's what it's point. Because right. It's very, very simple.
You're right. I want to slip into my old ways. So with a SPIA, you can reverse engineer it, say, I want this $1,000 a month for life. If you don't die at 76, you die at 86, you keep getting that $1,000 a month for life. So it's amazing benefit to this. Usually women come out ahead versus men, usually, because they live longer. But we have the same kind of options as your employer's pension will offer. Do you want your spouse, for example, to continue your SPIA payments when one spouse dies? You get a reduced benefit, but it goes for their life. If you've been predeceased by your spouse, you put in the 100 grand and you say, but I have kids and grandkids and I died when I only took out 40,000 of the 100, then they go to your beneficiaries through the beneficiaries directly or through your trust or however you want that set up. So they're a very good thing to make your own pension to supplement your old United Airlines pension or your Social Security income.
That's if you're doing it immediately. So if you're not doing immediately, it's referred to as a deferred annuity, which is like the MIGAs we talked about, because even those you could turn on as a pension. It's not usually ideal. You want to kind of know ahead of time if there is a plan to use the money as a pension or just for safe growth. But they all have that function. So if you are going to defer, there's another thing called the fixed indexed annuity. You want to get into that one?
Sure. I want you to. This is your time to shine, Anthony. This is the most you've been able to talk in probably a year and a half.
Yeah, and everybody's going to be real upset about that. So let's talk about FIAs, fixed index annuities. I am a very, very, very big fan of these. And I'm going to talk more theoretically first and why I just like annuities in general. Your whole working career, you know that you have to have a budget. You know, you've got money coming out, you got money coming in, but you've got a paycheck. You have something you can rely on that says, if I make a bad purchase, if I make a bad investment, I'm still working, I can replenish that. Well, why should that change for retirement? You know, we've bashed Susie Orman on here. We have the article where you have to have $5 million, and even if $5 million may not be enough to retire. I'm telling you right now, as somebody who handles money for a living, there are most people don't have this $5 million, but we have a lot of clients that are happy in retirement. Why are they happy in retirement? It's because their income is in excess of their needs. If you have excess income and not enough savings, you build up your savings. If you have excess savings or investments, stocks, bonds, whatever, but not enough income, you're going to spend down that money. So can you use bonds and take the interest and the 4% rule? If I'm only paying 4% or taking 4% of my stocks and bonds every year, I should be able to live for life. Well, first of all, the guy who created that rule no longer thinks it applies. But two, imagine you're taking 4% in 2006, and then you're taking 4% in 2009. Your income's going to fluctuate substantially because it's going to be half off. So are you going to match those payments with, are you going to now start depleting it by 8%? Well, if you start depleting by 8%, are you going to recoup enough money to offset that? There are no guarantees with that. So I love excess income. I think it's the key to a happy retirement. And I love having excess income. And then at that point, truthfully, I don't care how you invest your money. We're overly cautious in our office. We prefer that you do things like these MIGAs and the FIAs I'm about to talk to you about. But we want you to have excess income, just as if you were still working. So if you do invest in something that takes a dump, it doesn't matter because you still have money. Buy the NVIDIA stock, buy GameStop,
Dogecoin.
Bitcoin. It doesn't matter because if you lose, you don't lose everything. Now, if you're living off of your assets and you're pulling from your stocks and your bonds to live off of, and now all of a sudden we do have another 2008, we have another dot-com bubble, we have another March of 2020 where the market drops 30% in 1 month, you're going to freak out and you're no longer going to enjoy retirement. So make life easy on yourself and just have that excess income. And then once you've set that base, whatever, the riskiest things available, you go get them. I don't care. Just make sure you set yourself a foundation first. So, SPIAs.
Don't buy a Tesla truck. Just don't. Anything you want to buy.
Buy two Tesla trucks. Default on them. Who cares? It doesn't matter. You've got income coming. Anyway, so FIAs. I want to get to that because we're big on SPIAs. FIAs you can also use for immediate income. And in most cases, we're actually seeing them pay out more. But what is an FIA, a fixed index annuity? Like I said before, it's deferred. It's saying, I may or may not want to turn this on as a pension down the line, but you have that opportunity. But right now, I just want safe growth. A fixed index annuity will give you allocation options, which will take a long time to get in, but we're going to keep it simple for right now and just say that allocation option is the S&P 500. Everybody knows what the S&P 500 is. How this credits is every year on your anniversary, they're going to look at the S&P 500. Did it go up? Did it go down? Did it stay the same? If it goes up, what a fixed index will give you is a percentage of the growth. Now, it could be a cap, it could be a participation rate, it could be on a spread. Essentially, it's going to limit your growth, which, you know, you're saying to yourself, well, that doesn't sound fair. If the S&P went up 20%, I want all 20%. But here's the caveat to that. What they're accomplishing by limiting your growth is completely taking away the downside risk. So in that scenario, what if the market goes down 20%? You're like, oh, no, I don't want to lose 20%. Well, that's where the fixed index annuity comes in. The term zero is your hero, which still not a big fan of that term, but you're going to be much happier returning zero than it is coming to have an annual anniversary where you're down 20%. And now when you're down 20%, if you make 20%, that doesn't get you back to even. You have to make 25%. So you have to play catch up. Fixed index annuities are for people that just want slow, steady growth. It's a way to invest by making a percentage of what the market does without being actually in the market. That kind of cover it. I mean, there's a lot of caveats. There's so much more to nitty gritty that you can get into, and I would love to, but I need you guys to know the basics. If you want to earn a percentage of what the stock market does without the risk of loss, you can do that with fixed index annuities.
And we all like to make money. We all do not like to lose money. Money goes up a lot slower than it goes down. We understand all these different psychological things with money. And you know what? The best answer for somebody might be that's younger and they're not thinking pension, but they're still aware of safety versus risk. You might want to have both. Sit with somebody like Anthony, who's independent, has his license to do, you know, the exciting stuff, the securities, but can also set a base. Even if you're not ready for the income, the lifetime income talk, there's a lot of people. If you came in and you brought $100,000, if I put it all in the market, you could lose big money. If I put it all in the fixed annuity, it might be too safe for your taste. What if we split in half? What if we put half where it can't go down? And then we put half where it can, but it has more growth potential. And then we have another 2008. While that half that went down needs time to recoup itself, then you turn to the safe half. It buys you time. It hedges your bet. Sorry, Anthony, keep going.
That's good. And I want to back to the functionality and the philosophy of why to do this. Think of, if you're listening to this show, probably familiar with IRAs, and you're probably of an age where you need to consider RMD. RMD is required minimum distribution. What happens is that the government at age 73 currently, this is bound to change, they're going to force you to spend down your IRA. Now, this isn't a punishment. It's not technically an income. All they're doing is you pull money out of an IRA and convert it to non-qualified money by paying the taxes. So theoretically, you could take your RMD on your investments, and if you're not making enough to supplement that every single year, you're going to draw your IRA money down to zero. It's just going to disappear. It's going to be gone. What I prefer to do when we talk, I love annuities for lifetime income. I love pensions. Of the tax codes to start with, you know, if you have money in a Roth, you have money in an IRA, you have money in non-qualified. When we talk about lifetime pensions, I'm going to start with your IRA money. The reason for that is the government's going to force you to make withdrawals from it anyway, so why not get ahead of that? But also, why not guarantee that it never goes to zero? Why not guarantee it as a lifetime income stream? So if the money does get to zero, it doesn't matter because it's still going to pay you for life. Trying to manage people's money when they're heavy in IRAs gets difficult past 73 when you have to throw into the equation that you just have to pull money anyways. So why not get out ahead of it? And we've had a lot of people real thrilled by getting out ahead of that because I know we've also had people very upset with having to deal with their RMDs because it does become a hassle if you're not planning accordingly.
And shame on the government for making me do it. Leave me alone. We all want to be left alone. Stop making me touch my money. Oh,
and it does look, I'm so sorry. This is such a weird episode for us to actually do financial stuff, but anyways, if that scratched any interest in you and you learned something or you have more questions, or actually, I love having conversations with people that tell me they still hate annuities, because I'm positive you don't. But let us help you with that. That's it for today's show. If you like what you heard, have questions on any of the topics today, or want to sit down with us to review your personal financial situation, you can reach us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. You can book appointments or chat with us straight from the website, anothermoneyshow.com. Give us a call, 623-523-0444. The number again, 623-523-0444. There are no minimums. There's no cost for appointments. There's nothing to lose by getting a second opinion on your financial situation.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer.